Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all shapes and size, welcome to Getting Franchised. I am the man who did this introduction. My name is Joe, and with me for this episode, the host, as you know him the most, Charles D. Nutter. Welcome, Chuck.
Okay, so I was walking through my cemetery today, the human cemetery, and there was no joke. There was a family marker.
All right.
That was Nutter. It was just family marker Nutter.
Okay.
And I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then I'm like looking around because I always like to try to find myself. Like there's several Charles Shaws in that cemetery for whatever.
Oh, really?
Reason.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Different middle initials.
Yeah.
And I've yet to find a Charles D. Shaw. However, I did find a Charles D. Nutter, which was probably my favorite thing I found today, to say the least.
Okay.
So happy for that. Happy that I got to experience that. I got to be a part of it. Good times all around. Look, Joe, if I could be honest with you,
please,
for a moment. So we watched a movie. Sorry, I'm trying to find like the one thing that I usually do.
The AI?
No, not the AI.
Oh.
Here we go. Okay. Joe, I don't know if you know this, but it all begins with the skit on the pavement, and it ends here with funeral derangements. The flesh is living, but the souls are spoiled because the wrath of God lays beneath this soil. We watched Pet Sematary today.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that was Ice Nine Kills Funeral Derangements.
Okay.
Because once again, they're spoilers. The song is better than the movies we just watched. So we watched Pet Sematary from 1989, and then the 2019 remake that nobody asked for, from my understanding.
Yeah, well, probably. The problem is that, you know, 2019 is, at this point, we've had a few different Stephen King remakes that were arguably successful. So they're like, well, let's remake all of Stephen King stuff.
Okay. So let's start there. Let's start with Stephen King specifically.
Okay.
Now, we all know that Stephen King pumps out a lot of shit. Like, a lot of shit.
He does.
That dude, like, writes a book a day or some shit.
I always love the joke in Family Guy where it's Stephen King going to his publicist, and the publicist is like, so what new book you got for me? And Stephen King's just like, it's a book about, and he's looking around the room, a haunted lamp, and he just grabs the lamp off the desk. And the publicist is like, you got nothing, do you? And then Stephen King is like, ooh, like shoving the lamp at him like a spooky way.
Yeah.
And the publicist is just like, all right, when's gonna have the screenplay by?
So,
or the other one where he gets hit by a van. He's like, oh, this is the idea for a novel. And he gets hit by the van, goes flipping over it, and done.
Yep. I do remember that one. I famously will always remember it was a panel at like a convention or something. It's Stephen King and is it George R.R. Martin? He's the guy that writes
the Game of Thrones. Yeah.
And Martin is talking about the fact that he cannot, like, he's got the worst writer's block for trying to finish the series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, he looks at Stephen King and just goes, I don't understand how you write a book a day, essentially, by the time he's done.
Yeah.
And Stephen King is just like, it's not hard. Like, I then makes a joke about the fact that like cocaine exists, which then after watching this, I don't think was a joke. I think that dude does copious amounts of drugs to write stuff.
Yeah. Like, cause I looked into his bibliography because I do like the Stephen King movies. I mean, there are a bunch of crap ones in there, but like I was looking at all of his ads because I want to watch majority of them as much as I can, but at the same time, I want to go back and actually start reading the books. The only ones of his that I've read is the Dark Tower series, and I want to go back and actually try and start reading all this stuff. I'm starting at the beginning. Like, I've read Carrie, and yeah. I actually, the book is really good. That's his first one from mm-hmm. in 1974, and the book is really good. The movie, I rewatched the original movie, and like, I hadn't seen that one in forever. And that one, I did enjoy that one. And I'm going to try and watch the other adaptations that came out at some point. I've been very busy, but like, this is book number 14, Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
In 1983. So like, he had one book in 74, one in 75, two in 77, one in 78, two in 79, one in 80, two in 81, two in 82. Pet Sematary is book 2 of 3 in 83. Like, the man, and then, yeah, and then it's like another 3 there. It was a very big one. And then like another 4, like, he was writing so many at a time.
Yeah.
And then of course he had his accident. He had to take some time off, and then eventually I think he stopped writing like a book a day or a book a week, and just started doing like maybe one every year or every other year. Actually, it looks like every year.
And it should be noted that they're not always novels. They're like small short stories. Like,
I think somewhere in the 80s and 90s, he starts doing short stories as well as novels. Mm-hmm. This one is, like I said, book number 14 out of, at this point in time, after 10 years, you know? So like, the man works, you know? And even now, I think, I don't know exactly how many he has, but actually, hold on. 65. He's got 65 novels, 12 collections, a couple screenplays and teleplays, a couple nonfiction, 16 others. Like, the man has close to 100 books written since 1974.
Yeah, and I think he's got like more than that, because I know the like the big library that essentially houses all like any book that's ever been printed. I forget what it's called. He has like close, I mean, with his short stories, which get folded in, it's like close to like 600 or something like that.
It says here he has written over 200 short stories, most of which are compiled into book collections. So yeah, like, it's,
yeah,
he the man's prolific. I can never say that. Prolific.
If you didn't say it, I could have said it.
I'm sorry.
Prolific.
There we go.
Prolific.
Thank you. I don't know why I was trying to put the element.
Yeah, the dude does copious amounts of drugs, clearly, and just writes books. But I think it's also super important that, like, the themes are almost always the same, which is dealing with death and grief.
Yes.
Like,
almost always.
Yeah, so, like, that's what Pet Sematary is about. Ultimately, it's about the grief and loss and how we deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So just a quick rundown, both the original and the remake are based off Stephen King's novel of the same name. Of course, it's spelled incorrectly because the kids spelled the sign. It's spelled with an S instead of a C, which is important to remember, because there is a Pet Sematary with a C, not the same thing. And also the Ramones, they spell it with a C because they didn't want to pay the licensing. Like, if that's not the most punk thing ever, you know what I mean?
Sense,
like,
right?
we're gonna spell it correctly so we don't have to pay licensing to Stephen King, which is funny because the song actually ends up in the movie.
The new one?
Yeah. Well, and the old one, they played at the credits.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they played at the credits.
I mean, it was on, we watched this on Paramount Plus, and they quickly pop up the watch Pet Sematary too. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. I hit the back button.
Which, by the way, the fact that there's a Pet Sematary 2, I'm terrified to know what that is.
Here's the thing. Pet Sematary 2 was the first one I watched. Now, mind you, when I watched it, I was in the middle. I was like at a cabin with some friends playing pool, so I wasn't paying attention for the most part. But that's the first one I ever watched. I thought I had watched this one, the original one. No, I had not. I have seen the remake before. We'll get into it when we get there, but continue on. Sorry.
So this both stories, which is interesting because when I started watching this, I didn't understand why everybody hated the remake so much, but because it was almost in the beginning, shot for shot, the same mm-hmm. thing. They almost didn't change anything in the beginning. The story follows Lewis Creed, who moves with his family to a rural town in Maine. Didn't know it was in Maine. I think that is a that's a Stephen King thing, though. All
Yeah,
of his stories
almost
take place
all of
in
his
Maine.
stuff, yeah, majority takes place in Maine because he's from Maine, so know what, right, what you know.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Near their new home, they discover a pet cemetery where local children bury their deceased animals. After the family cat dies, which, by the way, the fact that essentially it dies because this there is a road that divides essentially like this. It's only two farmhouses,
Yeah.
but people are flying at like 90 miles an hour in like giant trucks. After the cat family cat dies, their neighbor Judd, which we'll get into fucking Judd in a second,
Talk
takes
about down
Lewis to the
that
cemetery. Takes Lewis to the cemetery, revealing a burial ground with the power to resurrect the dead. However, the returned characters are not the same as before. In both versions, tragedy strikes when Lewis's son Gage is killed in an accident, which is not true.
Correct.
Yes, that was one of the biggest. That was one of the biggest first changes. So this review is incorrect. But the book in the book Gage dies, in the original Gage dies. But in the remake, it is the daughter, Ella,
Ellie.
Ellie. Grief-stricken, Lewis makes a faithful decision to bury Gage in the cemetery, leading to horrifying consequences when his son returns, bringing chaos and terror to the family. So, essentially, the plot is, which there, by the way, this is like one of six stories that are going on all at once, and that's six, maybe three or four
Yeah.
that are all essentially going on, right? They lose Gage or like the doll, like one of the kids, the cat
Yeah.
dies. There's Judd who is dealing with his own like I had to kill my dog after we buried him,
Yeah,
and
when he was a
also
kid, though,
yeah,
like.
when he was a kid and he was still like grief-stricken about that. And also he knows what this thing fucking does.
That's the kicker right there.
Yeah. So once again, we are watching a movie, and I kind of walked away with this the same way that I walked away with Hellraiser, which is if you just didn't do the fucking thing to start with, none of this would have happened. Right? Now, granted, it's different because this is like, yeah, I guess in a moment of grief, you will do anything to bring somebody back, which is you know, fine. Despite the fact that Judd is literally telling him, yo, they're not gonna come back the same. We did this before. I don't what I don't understand. I mean, they try to explain it in 2019 a little bit better of why Judd shows him that like if you bury the cat will come back. As like in the first one, he made it sound like it was like, hey, so this is a thing that will happen and you shouldn't do it. And here's why, because the cat is like evil now.
Kinda
But
like
and then like in the second one, they make it much more clear that he was like, look,
yes.
I felt bad for Ellie and we needed to bring the cat back.
Yeah, that way she can have her cat. But the
Right.
cat comes back different. And he even says, similar to what he said in the first one, that's no longer Ellie's cat. That's your cat now. Like you're the one to bury them. The cat's yours.
Which is
And
like, what does that even mean? Like, I guess the idea is that you're supposed to, like, you have to now deal with the consequences.
nurture it, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they didn't really explain like what the significance of like making the fact that it's his cat now
Yeah. And
on either side.
I'm wondering if that is dealt, it has to have been dealt better in the book,
That's
It had
my
to have been.
assumption, and I know that there's a series called Pet Sematary Bloodlines. I'm
Is
wondering
it
if they go into
so
it more.
that is a prequel movie. That actually is, it takes, because I saw I saw it on there. I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh, this looks kind of cool. Read the description. It actually takes place in 1969, dealing with Judd and his dog and the person they brought back and the
Gotcha.
consequences from that. So I actually, that one looks good. I might actually check it out. But the other problem is that one of the pet cemeteries, I guess main problems is that everything is very one note.
Yeah.
It's somebody dies, you bring them back with the ritual hallowed ground cemetery, and it's like, okay, they're not right. just go leave it. It's fine. My friend, my buddy's back. My son's back. Whatever. My child is back. They're a little different, but it's okay.
Like, yeah, they're actively trying to kill me, but I don't care because I at least got them back, which is dumb and stupid.
Yes.
Because both these stories, we don't actually see the fights. Like, they kind of just, like, they show up, and then it's just like, oh, I finally got you back. And then they just kind of, like, I guess with Gage and Ellie, and we kind of see that.
In the remake, we see a little bit more. We see, this is, so, if you were to ask me.
Yeah.
Last week, which one I thought was better? I haven't seen the original. I've seen the remake 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, I like the remake better because the child actor, like, what can you do with little children acting, you know? But when you have especially like a toddler, but when you have like a young kid, you know, they can actually emote a little better. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, man, the remake is better. After rewatching both of them, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, you know? I think the kid that they had to play Gage, I think did a really good job in the first one, and in the second one, I think Ellie does fine.
Well,
I think she's fine, but
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that is the actors at the time. The kid that they had for Gage in the first one was probably a little bit older. He could speak. He could emote a little bit for the most part.
That kid is 100% from a meme that I can now not think of like what the meme is, but it's something like it's like him and a bunch of other kids are standing there and it's like him going like, what do you think you're doing? Or something like that. Like that kid is super fucking familiar.
It's the kid from Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, it is the kid from Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Spawn. We'll get to Spawn.
Oh my God.
Actually, by the time this comes out. We might have actually watched one. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, what a nightmare.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But that being said, though, like, I'm sure you were as poor as I was when you were a kid, but I don't know if this show is still on or if you actually watched PBS. The Ellie in the first one.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the show Ghost Writer? On PBS?
Yes. Ghost Writer? Yes.
Yes.
I did. Yep.
She is Lenny from that. She's one of the main characters from that. I'm like, why does she look so familiar? I had to look it up. And she's got really nothing on Wikipedia except for being in this and Ghost Writer.
Yeah.
And I think she like retired and became like a producer or something. But I'm like, oh, hey, I used to love her back when I was, you know, 10. Ghost Rider still, like, I still love that show.
I remember bits and pieces of it. I didn't watch it a lot because I could never figure out when it was actually on, but I just remember the typewriter. I remember the typewriter typing by itself.
Yeah. I was all in on Ghost Rider. I had, like, the books and, like, code books, and I was 10. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Well, it was, like, one of the things that your parents would actually, like, let you watch as a kid.
PBS. But, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't too violent like Power Rangers. I get that.
Yeah, that's why they wouldn't let me watch Power Rangers.
Yep, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Anyway, but no, so where we at? Oh, so you were talking about plot lines going on.
The
other one I think of is the whatever's going on with Rachel, the mom, and her sister.
Her sister? That was fucking weird. Like, I guess the idea is like she already had to deal with the grief of like the grief of I am the reason why somebody died.
Yeah.
That was a horror or whatever in the grand scheme of things. I didn't really get that. It didn't feel like it really fit in this story other than the haunting aspect of it, which by the way, in the original, I am almost sure that her sister is played by the same person who plays Pascal, which is the guy who dies. Under makeup? Oh, it's not? Oh, they just look the same then? Okay. Under makeup?
It is a guy, but it's not...
it's not the same? See, that would have made a little more... Like, that would have been... Somehow would have made a little bit more sense to me. Because when I was watching, it was like, okay, so, like, Pascal was a guy who apparently got hit by a truck. A lot of people get hit by trucks in Maine. I don't know what's going on.
Apparently they just don't care.
Yeah, apparently nobody gives a shit and everybody's dying. Lewis Creed is like a doctor working at a university, and they bring the person in to have him look at him, and he's like pretty much already dead, and he's there to warn him.
Yeah, like warn Creed. His skull is open; you can see his brain on both versions. Yeah. I think I like the original version better.
You know? I kind of did too. Yeah, it just like
it looked it's prosthetics. It actually looked real versus whatever they did in 2019, which guarantee was CGI.
Yeah, you know? It didn't, and it kind of holds up. I mean, for 2019, weirdly enough, there was some stuff in the 2019 one where I was looking at it and go, wow, this isn't that old and it doesn't look great.
Yeah, the kids
and the processional and everything.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, Pascal is essentially supposed to be this warning, but also he's really fucking weird about it because he's like, he's almost like trying to passive aggressive get them to do it or something. Like he's being weird about it. He's like, hey, don't do this. This is a bad idea. I can't stop you. Like,
well, and because in my mind, like from what I could read, he attached his soul attached to Lewis because Lewis was actually trying to save him. Like,
right.
And couldn't. So Lewis is able to see him in the beginning. He's being like passive aggressive to Rachel because Rachel can't see him. So he's trying to, in that ghostly form, like push the, hey, like you need to try and do this, you know, try to push her in the right direction to help Lewis. But there's only so much he can do, you know, because he's a ghost.
Right. And it's, I don't know. It just like the Rachel's sister just felt weird, but I guess like that she was supposed to be like the other warning, and then like Pascal was the warning for like Lewis and stuff. But I think both movies, much more in the first one than the second one, because the second one does try to, I don't want to say apply logic to an illogical situation, but tries to at least make it make a little bit of sense. Yeah. But the first one is just like, hey, here's all these things. Everybody just accepts that this is correct and makes sense, and you are just going to go along for the ride of the story. Versus the second one, which at least tries to apply a little bit of like logic to it, almost like applying logic to an illogical situation and like very fantasy based, but it's just like trying to at least make it make sense with a scientific stance. I don't know how to explain it. But like the first one was just like, I was just watching, I go, oh, so we're just accepting that this makes sense, that this is all happening. Oh, okay.
And this might be something, because of my, I'm not gonna say limited knowledge, but knowledge of King and his works and how he likes to weave things together. And so it might actually play better well in the novelization. He has already released the first book of The Dark Tower, the Gunslinger.
Yeah.
The big thing for The Gunslinger, which is his magnum opus, he has these characters that have these special abilities, something called Shine. You know, we hear it in The Shining, Dr. Sleep, in It, in Dark Tower mainly.
Mm.
Shine is basically they're able to perceive things that aren't there. What I'm getting from the first one more than the second one is the daughter Ellie, and even Rachel to an extent, has the Shine ability. They're able to see Pascal, you know, at times. Because Ellie is making all these things, having all these dreams and stuff.
Yeah.
Again, my knowledge of King and his works, I have that in there. Is it part of it? Did they portray it well enough in the movie? That's a toss.
I mean, if you didn't explain it to me, I would have never known. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, like, and maybe that's Easter eggy stuff. Maybe that's Easter eggy stuff for the super fan, but like, correct. To the casual who didn't read the novelization,
yeah,
right, it doesn't make any sense.
Which but is I, is bad. Like they because you can look at it as, oh, she's having dreams of these ghosts of her dad doing things. Rachel's having dreams of her sister. But even then, like in the new one, she's having these hallucinations that her sister is there. Are they daydreams? Are they actual dreams? They don't explain it well enough.
Right. A lot of it is just like you. Yeah, it's like almost like you just have to. They want the person to interpret it how it is, but not in a good way. Yeah. Like that's a lot of things. Like, I think that happens a lot with Stephen King stuff. Is just like it's open to interpretation, but nobody interprets it correctly.
Yeah, everybody interprets it some other way.
Yeah, and then like, and what's really frustrating about it is King never really comes out and says like what it's supposed to be or what it's supposed to represent or whatever.
Yeah,
and like fine, and like that's the point. Maybe he doesn't want to do that. But there are just like it's almost like they apply it to things where it's like, okay, this is not the part where you should be making me have to guess what this actually means, right? But I really got done. Also, I have learned a little peek behind the curtain here. When we have to do three movie recording weekends to not sandwich it where I do Getting Franchised back to back, I need to do one Getting Franchised, then whatever we do for Comic Book Rundown, and then do the second one. Because, by the way, check the archives. Go listen to what we've yet to actually record at time of this recording. Man. Black Scorpion. This was not a bad week. This was a fucking weird week for us with recording stuff because I had to do Pet Sematary, the Pet Sematary again, and then Black Scorpion. I did Black Scorpion first. And I should have definitely broken these two movies up.
Yeah.
Because this is actually one of the first times where we actually got a movie that when it started was almost shot for shot the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we haven't had that yet. You know?
Yeah. We haven't had a remake that was like the same.
Evil Dead started a little bit like getting into the woods, but then once they get there, it's like, all right, things divert and change.
Right.
Candyman obviously wasn't. So yeah, no.
Yeah. And Evil Dawn of the Dead
wasn't.
And even Hellraiser wasn't the same.
No,
it's but this is like they literally took the same movie, and of course, big controversy about it was that one of the main points of contention for the 2019 remake was the altercation to the key plot elements, especially the decision to change the fate of the major character, which fans viewed as unnecessary and undetermining of the or undermining the original theme. Additionally, the film's marketing and trailer suggested a different tone, leading to expectations that were not met by some viewers. That I don't know anything about like that part, but yeah, the whole thing is in the remake, they kill Ellie instead of Gage, which changes a lot.
They definitely let you think it was gonna be Gage when he's standing there in the road with the semi coming.
Most like ridiculous way possible. Too like both of the death scenes of the kids are preposterous. Okay.
Yeah. There's no way a body is left over after being hit by a semi going 70 miles per hour.
Yeah, and looking totally fine for the funeral. The
funeral. And yeah, now, and they yeah.
I will say I did like in the 2019 one when he's bathing her. Like mm-hmm. trying to like clean her up and stuff, and he looks at the back of her head, and her head has been stapled shut because they did the autopsy.
Yeah,
I thought that was a nice little like thing. I thought that was interesting. I was really expecting like a Cabin Fever of him combing her hair and her hair essentially pulling the scalp off.
I feel like I remembered that.
Yeah,
but maybe I am just confusing it with Cabin Fever.
I think because it was very much a Cabin Fever. Worry that I had there.
Yeah.
But both films tackle the theme of grief, loss, and the consequences, and attempting to defy the natural order, drawing decisions around the ethical implications of resurrection and the impact of the loss of family relationships. The other big thing about the 2019 to the original is the ending.
Yeah.
Because we don't, in the in the original. So the Gage comes back, he kills Judd. And then, which I do enjoy that Gage and the cat essentially tag team everybody. I did kind of like that they were like this like evil like Bebop Rocksteady level of like goony of goons.
The cat distracts and Gage goes in for the kill.
Yeah, I do kind of like, I kind of thought that was, I don't know, there's something about that I thought was really funny. But we have that. We have Judd dying. Missy, was it Missy or Misty? Which is the, like, she's the maid or something. She kills herself. She hangs herself. She's the one that has
Misty.
the stomach
Yeah, she had
issues.
cancer.
Oh, is
She
that
had,
what it was? She had
that's what it
cancer?
was, because she left
Oh,
a
okay.
note saying she had cancer, I can't live with it anymore, and she killed herself, which came out of the blue. Why? Don't know
Yeah,
where that
again,
happened.
doesn't apply to, like, it didn't have anything to do with the story, really. Like, I guess they just needed a reason to write her off or something. I don't know. It was super weird. Like, it would have made more sense if Gage killed her. Like, because then at least would have applied, or something. Or, like, if she knew that it had happened, like, I was under the impression that she was. Was she part of like when they brought back the guy in the past, like Judd's past and stuff, and then they had to kill him? Was she
I don't
part of
know.
that?
I don't
Okay.
know.
I
I don't.
wonder.
I did, if they said it in the movie, it didn't register. I
Yeah,
don't
same.
recall.
Which,
But who knows?
like, at least that would have tied it in, right? So, like, her stuff, and while she had, if she had cancer, fine, but like her stomach aches and her stomach problems would have been like her constantly dealing with the grief of that, and then the worry that this was going to happen again, or it does happen again, right? And that's why she killed herself, because she couldn't go through that all over again. And maybe that's what it was, and they just don't ever explain that.
Again, it could just be a bad interpretation from the book. That being said, though, King wrote the screenplay for this movie, for the first movie. So he's obviously going to be like, well, we don't need this. We don't need this. This makes is important, maybe. But if you don't have why Missy killed herself, like you said, with the cancer, the stomach stuff, which makes sense, like the grief eating her alive. And then after Gage being, killed. And the possibility of it could all happen again because Judd showed Lewis the cemetery. Yeah, she could be like, I don't want to deal with this.
Were you in the 2019 remake, speaking of the cemetery? So, like, the big thing, the other big difference is in the 2019, there's like a pet cemetery, and it's just like a regular, normal cemetery. And then there's like this ancient burial ground kind of behind it. But there is this like a weird cave thing that glows and talks to them, or it's not a cave, but it's like a, I don't know. I think it was supposed, I thought it was supposed to be the entrance to the other burial thing, but they always climb over it.
For whatever reason, Lewis getting the hallucinations, if you will, because like when he's in his basement and then all of a sudden he's out in the woods, maybe that was like a doorway. Again, King likes to write weird things in his stuff. There was I never really saw a connection. Like I don't I know I remember the scene you're talking about, and you're right, like they would climb over. Although in the first one, the original one, like he's climbing and he falls through that little wood dam barrier thing.
And
And
it
then
glow when
when
the first time he sees it or something like that, it glows at him.
okay, but what I'm saying, okay. Yeah,
So
see, I watched it the other day, I don't remember.
I always thought that's where they, like, when they get buried, that's where the body walks back out, and they just never show that. But they regularly reference the fact that they had to dig them, that the bodies dig themselves out of the grave. So I don't know. I just thought it was very strange.
Well, I mean, what was really weird though was when he goes to take Gage, he doesn't climb over that barrier. He
No.
actually goes through like that pathway. Like there's a second path where he goes through. It's like that's not what you're supposed to do, but okay.
And maybe that had something to do with it. It was very strange. It didn't make a lot of sense. But in the 2019 one, it's a swamp. Which I thought was interesting, because it shows him walking through the swamp and he's like stepping on the bones. Instead of like a solid cemetery, it's like this like swamp thing.
Interesting.
And I guess the kids are just throwing the bodies into the swamp.
Well, probably get rid of them.
Now, something that they don't explain in the 2019 remake, but I think we were just supposed to assume those kids are dead. Yeah. The procession that we watch in the beginning, because they all have masks of a different animal that they buried. And then Ellie, when she comes back, has a cat mask on her bed.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So I'm wondering if those kids were actually like the same thing, that they were dead.
Yo, could be.
I don't know. I just thought that was weird. Or maybe it was his mask. I don't know. No, because it was on her bed, but that's when she shows up. Like, there's a bed, there's a mask on the bed, and then she shows up.
Yeah, in the basement. Yeah. No, you might be right, because I didn't put two and two together on that one. I just assumed like that the pet cemetery was the local legend, like your pet dies, you take it to the cemetery. And then you bury them and you have a procession, a funeral procession basically of taking the kids there. We only see that once, but we do see them again, right? Like we see two or three people in the masks just standing there at one point, I thought.
Because it was
Maybe you're
Halloween.
right. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was super weird, and they don't really explain it in the movie. So
No.
I again, it's just something we're supposed to assume. But the other big difference is the original ends with Rachel, who was killed by Rachel is killed by Gage because she's hung.
Yeah, that I like that one. Because it's just Gage is like this evil shit now. And he attacks her and then nothing. And then when Lewis comes in, he throws her from the attic and like kills her that way. I mean, I'm pretty sure she's already dead, but like hangs her from the attic. And it's like, oh God, that's
Although
crazy.
there is a part of me that wonders if she wasn't dead, and when Lewis opens it, that's what kills her, is
That's
like
possible
essentially she
too.
breaks her neck.
Yeah.
Which would have been, that would have been super gnarly.
Yeah.
So he goes, he buries Rachel. Rachel comes back. Which, by the way, the fact that she came back with only one high heel on and was able to make it a back through with all that was pretty impressive. Because I don't know why it bothered me so much, but she had like one stiletto on still. It's like, girl, you're dead. You can just take it off.
Yeah, but she also has no feeling. Like you saw it, like her whole eye was gone. Gage ate that. So like
Age ate her eye, and then proceeds when he when she's just like, oh my darling, I like it's good to see you or something like that, and pus just
yeah.
spews out of her eye. I was just like, oh shit, okay, that was gross.
Yeah.
And then but in the original, oh, and then so that he like kisses her and stuff, and a dead body, and it's like glad she's back, and then she is
She grabs
reaching
like a
for a knife.
yeah, she grabs a knife and it ends like she has it over her head and then it cuts to black.
And then it cuts to black with him like yelling or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the 2019 remake, Rachel once again dies.
A little more
But
viciously, like Ellie is stabbing her with a kitchen knife.
Now I must have blanked out, but it's Lewis goes and buries Rachel?
No. So
No, it
what
was
happens,
Ellie.
Ellie? So what happens is Lewis grabs Rachel throws Gage out the window. Lewis grabs him and puts him in the car, said, "Do not open this door," whatever. Goes back in the house. Ellie has killed Rachel now. And then she knocks out Lewis, knocks out her dad. And then you see Ellie dragging Rachel out to the Indian burial ground, ancient burial ground. On her way back, Lewis comes, stops her in the swamp, I believe, and is going to try and kill Ellie. And then Rachel pops up and shoves a iron through his chest, killing him.
So I saw that part, but I missed the part where it was Ellie that I don't know what I was doing. Oh, I guess I wasn't paying attention.
To be
Where it was
fair,
Ellie that faked Rachel. So
I was playing on my phone a lot during this
yeah,
sequel.
the 2019 kind of falls apart in the third
Yeah.
act a lot.
A little bit of the
It's really
second act too,
slow.
but yeah.
Yeah, it's like halfway through. It just, I don't know, something happens. But I'll be honest, because I watch these back to back, I started watching the beginning of it, I go, oh my God, it's the same fucking movie. I don't, and so I kind of tapped out in the beginning too, but when they started changing stuff, I kind of, it brought
Brought
me
you back
back
in.
in. But then Lewis and Rachel and Ellie are now dead, and they come back and they look at Gage, who was locked in the car, and said, no matter what, do not unlock the door for anybody. But then you hear the door unlock and the movie just ends, right? So they're probably
But
going
if
to kill
you,
Gage and bring him back.
well, but if you remember at the very beginning of the movie, we actually see what happened. Like, we are zooming in on the like aerial view of Judd's house on fire, pan over to these guys' house, and what were their names again? The Creed house. We see the door to the car open with blood on the window, and then the trail of blood leading back into the house, and with the camera following it there. I mean, it's not hard to figure out, yeah, they got Gage. Like, you figure
Which
that
is,
out at the very end, but
yeah, we
like
kind of figured it out, but yeah, it was an interesting ending. So normally I am a person who goes, well, I don't care that they change stuff. I don't want to watch the same movie I already watched once before.
sure.
I just like it when they actually do it well, though, and I feel like the 2019 one didn't. I get why people didn't like it, I guess.
I'll say this, because I do want to talk about Judd a little bit in a minute. But I'll say this, the acting in the original was not great
Oh,
on
it's not
all
good.
levels.
It's not good. Even like,
The only good one was actually Judd, because he's actually a
okay.
good actor.
So I hear you. That guy is in a lot of shit too.
Herman Munster.
Yeah,
It's
that's
the
who it
original Herman Munster.
was. That's who
Yes.
it was. I knew. I was like, dude, this guy looks so fucking familiar. But the stupid accent that he does throughout the entire movie was super throwing me off. And I got a little sick of it because it kind of cuts in and out weird.
Don't go down
Like,
that road. And because of that, I think of South Park all the time because of a whole thing.
but
But
yeah,
anyway.
but like when he's trying to be serious, the accent kind of drops and it's a little weird. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it was strange nonetheless. But yeah, okay. So that, oh my God, that was gonna drive me nuts because I was like, I know this dude. I
Well,
know this dude.
glad I helped you out there. But
Yeah,
so
I just wasn't gonna look it up. So
while the acting, that's fair. While the acting wasn't great in the original, the acting was a little bit better in the 2019, but the story wasn't great.
the story was not as good.
Whereas the story in the original was actually really good. So that is like some contributing factors for me. Another big thing, and this kind of falls on both movies, Judd, and so we can get into Judd here a little bit. He obviously knows about the burial ground. He's lived there his whole life. His motivation in the 19 one was better, because he's like, hey, that cat meant a lot to Ellie, right? And Lewis is like, yeah, like, this is, church was her favorite thing. All right, well, we gotta go do something. We can't bury him here. We gotta go over here. Like, he wanted to be altruistic, maybe, to try and help Ellie out and bring back her cat, knowing full well what's gonna happen, but not explaining it fully to Lewis. This is the 2019 one. In the original, he just up and says, like, and I watched this one first a couple days ago, so I don't remember wording exactly, but something along the lines of like, well, we can't bury him here. We're gonna go take him to the we gotta go over here, and you have to do this yourself. I can't do it. Like, you have to bury him. And so, but he doesn't ever fully explain. Once the cat comes back, then he kind of explains what's going on, similar to the 19 one. And then he explains in the original one, I know what you're thinking. You can't bring people back. We tried it one time when I was a kid, and the guy that came back wasn't right. Things basically went wrong. at least you get the explanation here, which still, you know, Lewis is in such grief after losing his son. He's not nothing can actually stop him from doing what he's going to do. Whereas right. in this 2019 one, Judd never explains anything. You know, he's just like, you know, the whatever is there, it's sacred ground, it's sour ground, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just these things happen. It's a natural part of life that this happens for some reason.
Yeah, and like the fact is like you're talking like he does talk about it like that, but he also showed him how to do it with the cat.
You were the problem and you caused all of this problem. You know, I don't know.
He's an interesting antagonist to the story because Judd is actually the antagonist because he is the reason why all of these problems are happening. And he is kind of like the ultimate foil for Lewis because none of this would have happened if he did not tell Lewis or show Lewis from the start how to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that almost wonders if Judd, at one point I was watching it, I wondered if Judd was a part of like the grander scheme of things, right? Mm-hmm. Like the kind of like Final Destination-ish guy, you know, I always think of like the guy who plays Candyman in Final Destination.
Todd, yeah.
Yeah. He is just like, he's the guy who knows and he goes around, and he tells people like, hey, death is coming for you. Mm-hmm. Like you cannot avoid it. What, you know, all these things. So I wondered if he was supposed to be that same archetype of a character of like, hey, you're going to, I already know that you're going to do this thing. So, I don't know. It was, like ultimately Judd is the bad guy. Judd is the bad guy in this movie. And it really, I don't know, really bugged me. I don't know. He was a weird kid. Also the accent. The accent in the first one is kind of dumb. Guy who plays
John Lithgow.
Okay, so I know he is in a lot of things. Third Rock from the Sun. Yep. But I will forever burned into my brain, living rent free. He is a cameo kind of in the movie Orange County with Jack Black.
I've seen that forever.
And I only know that I don't remember who's the main guy.
I was going to say Michael Cera, like a supporting character. It's
not Michael Cera. It's the guy I always think is Jason Long, but he's not Jason Long.
It's Jay something. He was, no, that's not right. Hold on.
Anyway, in the part, he goes, he's yelling at somebody on the phone because he's like a real asshole. He's like the dad just to the main guy or something. And he just goes,
there we go, Colin Hanks.
Okay, there you go.
Sorry.
He just screams, something, 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 I will eat your face. And that has been burned into my brain forever of him screaming that with like a headset on as nice. He's like, I think he had like one of those like hand grip things he's like squeezing or something. Okay. I was burned into my brain. I will regularly yell that at people.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, I love yelling that at people.
I also know him from Harry and the Hendersons. Classic Sasquatch movie.
Yeah. I won't lie, for whatever reason, he's kind of like the Russell Crowe, Kurt Russell situation for me. I confuse him and Ed Begley Jr. a lot, though they don't look the same at all.
Interesting.
And, yeah, I don't know what it is, but I constantly see him and go, oh, it's Ed Begley Jr. No, it's not Ed Begley Jr.
It's the white hair. It's got to be the white hair.
Yeah, I guess that's about it, because nothing else. Other also, and they're like funny old white guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of it. But anything else you want to cover with these weird movies?
No, not really. Like I think we kind of dived into it really well. They're both fine. They both have their quirks, they both have their faults.
That's true.
That being said, like I know for the ratings that were given by IMDb, they both seem a little high for me.
I definitely agree with you on that. IMDb gave the original, or the IMDb rating for the original one is 6.5, which is I mean, I
It's
can
good.
understand it. I can understand it because it came out in 1989 and a movie like this really hadn't existed yet.
Yeah,
So
I
it was
mean,
kind of the
think
first
about
one.
it. When you think of Pet Sematary, you think of people rising from the dead. Like this movie, this book, this every like this influenced the culture for the rest of our lives.
It kind of like it weirdly spans off of like zombie cult, like the zombie genre, and does a lot of like what George A. Romano was doing, but a little different because it's they're not shambling, lifeless corpses just trying to feed. They are malicious, evil creatures. Like that's like it. So having that level of intelligence, almost smarter. Like Gage in the first one becomes like evil genius
He's a
after he
little
comes back from the
demon-y.
dead. Yeah.
Well, and that's, I mean, and then Ellie is a literal demon. At one point when she's killing Judd, like her face morphs into his dead wife.
Yeah.
So like she is a literal demon when she comes back. But anyway, that's being said, like I did enjoy one of these better than the other.
I did too. I mean, it's not even close. actually, it is very close in that. But also, the 2019 score for IMDb was a 5.7, which is a little bit closer than I was expecting from the amount of hate that it got.
Sure,
But
but
it's
I'm also
a
wondering how many
slightly
people
above
actually
average
watched the
movie.
original. Yeah.
But what do you give the original 1989?
Honestly, I think I'm gonna give that first one a 5.2.
Okay,
Yeah, I'll say
that's
5.2.
all right. And then your 2019 remake.
19, I'm gonna give that one like a 4.7.
Wow. Okay,
Like it?
you're on both ends still more generous than me.
Sure. But I see, here's the thing though. I enjoyed the, like I said, I like the story of the original, and while the acting is not the greatest, I still liked what they were doing. And I'm, because of my King knowledge, I saw little things that may not have been there. Maybe they were, I don't know. Whereas the remake, while the, like I said, the acting is a lot better, the story just doesn't hold up for me. I don't know. And maybe they went too special effects heavy, you know? So.
They did. I will agree. The special effects in the second one, I don't, sometimes I don't, just because you can doesn't mean you should. You know what I mean? Like I don't think that the Pet Sematary needs that. It doesn't need a it didn't need the special effects. You can make this movie pretty well without it, and I don't think it was totally necessary to CGI, especially stuff that could have been practical. Like you look at Pascal in the second one, and you're just like, why did you CG his accident, like his stuff?
Yeah, you could have easily
You
paid
could
a
have easily,
couple hundred dollars to have that done.
and it probably would have looked better, because in 10 years it's gonna look like shit. Like if we watch anything based on the Spawn King Continuum for any of our shows, we know that if they do CGI, it's gonna look like shit in 10 years. So,
Because the effects change so dramatically in such a short period of time that, you know, we're gonna be getting to, if we haven't already, The Mummy really soon. And The Mummy 2, historically, like
real
two or
bad.
three years after, the special effects is just terrible. They did
The
not hold up. So.
Scorpion King looks, oh my God,
Oh
it's the worst
God.
thing.
We'll get
It's
it.
the
We'll
worst
get into
thing.
it. We'll get to it. All right, but
Okay.
what you got for scores?
So for my score, look, on both of these ends, I am glad that I finally got to watch these so I could check the boxes and then I never have to watch them again. I did give a point or a tenth of a point higher on both scores because Iceman Kills does have a really good song called Funeral Derangement that is based off of these. Again, this is objectively the song is better than both of these movies. It's one of my favorite ones off of Welcome to Horrorwood. So for the first one, I'm going to give it a 4.1. Look, I watched this entire movie. I enjoyed it. It was fine. I would, if I was at a Halloween party and we wanted to watch it and like kind of make fun of it, I think the first one is actually really good at making to make fun of it, because it is silly and it is over the top and it looks ridiculous.
But and you would still enjoy it. Like you actually
Yeah.
with a bunch of people, you would probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I probably objectively would have enjoyed this better if I watched it with somebody who also really liked this movie. And let me rephrase that. Who liked this movie and could make fun of it, because if there's one thing I've learned, you don't make fun of like Stephen King fandom people. They fucking lose their shit. I get it.
I
That
must
dude's
not
a
be
god to most people, but
sure.
like, no,
I'm
sorry.
not in that fandom because I will make fun of Stephen King stuff constantly.
I mean, it
And I
is
like
like,
Stephen King, so.
I mean, it's more the people, like they find their thing that they love and they don't want it to like get hurt. You know what I mean?
No, I get that. When I
I
was
think even,
10,
but the, yeah, and like the same
I've
thing is
grown up
like,
and I make fun of my. I'm a DC fan. I make fun of DC crap all the time.
yeah, if you
Like.
don't make fun of the thing that you love, then like what's the point? You know what I
Exactly.
mean? Like if you're not doing it for malicious intent and you're just doing it for the laughs, I don't think that there's anything wrong with making fun of it.
Which is why
That
our show
being
is awesome.
you're not wrong, because I will shit on something that I love
Yeah, you
for an
will.
hour. You know what I mean? That'll give us a combined score of the 1989 of a 4.65. I think that's
Not bad.
fine. Yeah, I think that's exactly where it needs to be. For the second Pet Cemetery, look, I did give it a tenth of a point higher. I gave it a 4.2 because I did like the change. I liked that it was Ellie. I actually thought the ending was fine. I thought it was interesting that it had the same vibe to me of The Mist when I watched The Mist, except for I wasn't as horrifically depressed by it. But I liked that it ended with like nothing good happening. Everybody fucking dies in the end. And that I was okay with. I think I do like that they do, like that Stephen King really does write stories where like, no, bad things are gonna happen and you're not gonna like the ending. And that at least kept that same energy. So I gave it a 4.2, which gave us a combined score of a 4.45. Which again, I think is a perfect score for where it's
Yeah,
sitting.
it's not bad. It's good. What I do like is that we both have different. We both like the diff one better, one different. One. We each like the other one better. How's that? That sound right? Like I
Correct.
like the original. You like the remake. Not by much, but you did.
Not by much, but we're here for it.
Yeah, that's like that's the first time for us. Oh, 7 movies in. We have a
Yeah,
different score. That's all. I like that.
we actually are sitting right around this. Yeah, that's interesting. Looking at it, I got to be honest, looking at our scores overall, man, we tend to, this is I think the first time where we liked the original better than the second. I mean, I still think I
Okay,
liked
combined
it,
score.
despite across the board for the most part. I granted I usually tank the first ones because they just don't hold up as much. But nonetheless. So there you go, folks. Look, if you've never seen, well, our suggestion, if you've never seen Pet Sematary, watch the first one. Just watch the first one.
Yeah,
You may
watch the
enjoy it.
original. I do want to watch that Bloodlines. Like, it looks interesting enough to me.
Yeah, I
It's
think
probably
there
gonna
was
be
like
crap,
one
but
season.
no, it was a movie. It wasn't a show. I thought.
Oh, I thought I said it was a season. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah,
Either way.
I may watch it. It looked good. I don't watch enough stuff on Paramount. The only thing I literally the only thing I watch on Paramount is Star Trek because of you. And so that's all I get suggested is the entire like discography of fucking Star Trek.
I would say that's not my fault. But it
But it's
is.
literally your fault.
It's
It is literally.
100% my
Oh,
fault.
that
Watch
and I
a
watched
few.
Sonic for my
Oh, yeah,
nephew,
there you
and
go.
so they give me Sonic
Great.
suggestions too.
That's good. South Park, the South Park specials on there. Go watch those. Those are great.
Oh, okay. I was never a South Park guy. Like, I'll be
Oh, okay.
honest.
That's fair. That's
Yeah,
fair.
I don't know what it was. I liked some of it, but I just could never get into it.
I think
It
for
was
me,
like, it was
it
like,
was what.
it was like The Simpsons for me. After a while, it's just like, there's too much of this to ever get caught up.
Sure. But for me, it was another thing my parents said I shouldn't watch, so I watched it as a teenager. And then when I got my own place, I'm like, okay, I was watching it weekly when it came out. So
that makes sense.
I don't go back and watch it a lot. Anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's one of those things is once you've watched it, you watch it. There's not a lot of going because
there's a couple episodes I can go back to and rewatch, but like there's definitely some where I'm like, I'm good.
I argue that shows that try to be relevant in the time that they come out by making commentary of the things that are happening, because they are notorious for like making episodes based on like current events that are happening, do not hold up. Because unless you were born in that time and you remember it, none of it makes sense.
Correct.
To you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they had like three seasons of that. And that was something they tried differently. And then they have since kind of changed their way, I think, gone back to kind of like the episodic whatever.
Yeah. I remember during anytime that they did election stuff, like that stuff just doesn't hold up anymore. No. Like it's just jokes that were only funny for that time. So,
anyway,
Joey. Where can they find the show? Where can they find you? All that jazz before we get into the next run of movies.
You guys can find the show on the social medias, Comic Book Rundown, obviously. You know, hit us up. Hopefully, maybe by now I've gotten back on the social media. I've kind of haven't. I don't know, social media has been a lot of bad lately, and I just don't care. But, yeah, but we've got merch over at Redbubble and TeePublic. We do have, last month, we had Ron on for our My Bloody Valentine coverage on Getting Franchised, and we have a shirt that came out with it. That shirt is up currently. It looks amazing. I know all three of us have gotten it.
I ordered it. Yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah. So go check out our merch over on Redbubble and TeePublic, mainly TeePublic. I will probably eventually, I know Redbubble's stuff isn't as good, at least it wasn't. I will probably get stuff back on Redbubble if I remember. Maybe when I hear this, when I edit it, maybe I will. We'll see. We've got merch. You can email us comicrundown@gmail.com. What about you, Chuck?
Hey, you can find me on all social media platforms, probably, if I had to assume. Kicked Out of the Hood, no Ian Kicked. And you can find my Instagram hobby page for miniature stuff. Kicked Out of the Hobby, no Ian Kicked. Next month, Joey, we're going to switch it up a little bit. Okay. I feel like I'm getting a little burnt out on watching the same movie twice. And locally, a movie has just come out that was shot in Oneonta, New York. And it made a somewhat, it had a movie release and review and everything, and people seem to be liking it, but it is kind of on brand for franchises.
Okay.
So we will be watching. I chose two. I chose one because there seems to be a lot of up-and-coming movies based off of IPs that are now in the public domain.
Mm.
So we are going to be watching two movies that have fallen under public domain that are now horror movies. We'll be watching Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Fuck yeah!
And the local one that was just released, Popeye the Slayer Man, which was made and shot in Oneonta, New York, which I'm very excited about because apparently there are scenes from like my hometown
really
in it. Yeah. So I will be like really excited to see those things. So we're making it weird. We're going to make it weird. We're living off the franchises. We're going to see how they took a franchise that is beloved and they turned it into a probably, if I had to guess, a really bad horror movie with a weird budget.
I've never seen Blood and Honey. I've been wanting to watch it. Now I have an excuse to watch it. I love it. When I heard Popeye was coming out, I was like, this is probably going to be terrible. I want to see it. At time of recording, in a couple days, I'm going to go watch Screamboat in theaters. Seen Mousetrap already.
You and I watched Mousetrap. That was something else. Not at the same time. Yeah.
No. Screamboat is the Steamboat Willie remake, but it's from the guys from that did Terrifier. So it's gonna have a little bit more blood and guts. David Howard Thornton, who plays Art the Clown, is playing Steamboat Willie, is playing the mouse. So I'm looking forward to that being just I'm looking forward to having a good time with that. So I'm looking forward to the Popeye, I'm looking forward to the Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah,
this
this
actually got
will
me excited.
be interesting. Fingers crossed, we're gonna mix it up a little bit. And more importantly, Joey, we are almost out of season one.
Yeah, we've got
We've only
this is episode
got
seven. We've got
seven.
this episode seven. We're good. Next one will be eight, so we'll have four more after that. So,
Four more after that. A little teaser for season two. We've been talking on and off about what season two is going to look like, but we want to keep the vibe of Getting Franchise, where they took franchises and made the latest and greatest. In
stomping
season
on.
two, we're going to get out of movies for a little bit. I think both because Joey and I are getting burnt out on watching movies in general.
We watch a lot.
We watch a lot of movies, and we're going to lean into possibly just other things, television shows or possibly movies, we'll see. But they are things that tried to be a franchise and did not succeed.
Yeah.
So we'll be going into the possibly Getting Franchised season of Getting Franchised. I'm very excited for it. A teaser for you of season two, we'll be covering roller games, a roller derby slash professional wrestling slash cocaine fever induced dream that was shown to me on YouTube one time. And it's been my favorite thing that I ever watched,
Yeah.
and I'm very angry that it never got re brought back. So
I'd look
folks,
forward to that.
there you have it. Thank you again. This has been Getting Franchised. Joey, would you like to do the outro?
Wait, what's our outro?
I don't know. I just
All
thought you
right,
had one.
cool. Nope, I
Just
know. I got an
oh, you don't
intro.
want you don't want to do the Scooby-Doo? Oh, okay.
I mean, that's gonna do is run down reviews. I don't know what we kind of like. I can do like a I was gonna say a
I
Wilhelm
think.
scream or a horror scream, but
Oh, that's true. I think usually I just say you get you. There you go. You just got your ass franchised. But I don't remember if that was a thing that we made actually. We should have
I think you
Ron
said
make
it
a
like
shirt that just
twice.
says you got franchised and just see what he. Ron, just make this.
Yeah, let's do
Yeah.
that. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
Bye,
All
y'all.
right. Bye, everybody.